Namaste. So, I've been asked to speak something on the new life. Of course, ordinarily the term is understood by saying fashion. Fashion is a new way of life. So, but it's not about fashion that we are going to speak. Fashion tends to move in circles. And what had gone off as old tends to return back. So we are not speaking of fashion. But is there a new life emerging out of the old humanity? Humanity is old enough now. It has been struggling on planet Earth for maybe a million years, maybe more. Some would say many million years, if you take the cycles, the ice ages. But at least a million years is humanity is struggling all over this world, trying to find, seeking, using tools from Stone Age to this age. And we don't know for what purpose. Looking for a purpose, actually. So, basically, if we look at the entire evolutionary curve of humanity, we can say that corresponding to the three layers of the brain, there are at least three types of humanity. So, the three layers of brain, of course, we know are the reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, and the primate brain. So, there is the humanity which is largely confined to the physical world, regards that whatever the senses show us is alone real. And it lives oriented within it. It lives within comfort zones of the village and the tribe. My kind, my type. People who speak my language are mine. They who don't, they are not mine. People who have the same eating habits are mine. Why? Because it is confined to the physical world which it inhabits. So I had just a little conversation just now as I was walking. I overheard somebody saying, while you're walking, you know, you learn a lot of things. Somebody said, nowhere in the world there are so many tourists as here. So I remarked to my friend, I said, see, is it true? Has he gone around the world to make this statement? It may be true, but has he gone around? So my friend says, well, in his world, the world is according to his perception of world. I said, yes, that's true. Each one has his own limits of the world. So based on that world, we live, we form certain ideas about life. We have a working philosophy. The physical man has his own working philosophy. And so he lives his life. This is a life of comfort zones, which is primarily physical comfort zones. Extreme example is of people who will never like to leave their village. Why? Because they are very attached to it. Mm-hmm. So, because everything will change. So this is a physical life. Then climbing further, we discover another life. It's a life of, wants to go beyond the limits and the frames. So that's a vital life, what is called in India as, the explorer, the adventurer, somebody who wants to know what is beyond the limits and boundaries of his physical world, and he wants to explore. So this explorer, mariner, adventurer, often even he creates many things, produces many things, because the desired self is moving him. Ambition begins to move a human being. So this is a life lived for desires, ambitions, and thereby expansion of our field, of our little universe. And this life, as it climbs, which we can use the word vital life using Sri Aurobindo's terminology, meets suddenly as it climbs to this heart center, Anahat Chakra, with a stream which is coming from the depths. And that stream is from the psychic depth. It brings and takes the form of emotions. And suddenly the life of desire and ambition gets modified. Suddenly you experience affections, care, sympathy, all those deeper things which really make us human. This is where the true humanity begins. Before this touch of this deeper stream upon this climbing current of life, we are like asuras and rakshasas, living only for our desires, for our greed, only for our physical world, little physical world, living only for various kinds of ambition, and nothing else. But the moment this deeper current comes, say an emotional life touches, so we can say that this second layer further qualifies to become something which is more human, something which is like the emotional life which makes us truly human. But this doesn't stop here. A third layer of life begins to emerge out of this second, and the intellectual life. So, emotional person, emotions make us human, but we also want to understand what these emotions are. We want to understand what life is. So, the moment this urge to know, this seeking to understand, to know the purpose, all this, what shall I say, this bug bites a human being. So the intellectual life begins to emerge. It begins with a seeking. And seeking admits ignorance. It looks around and sees that there is a giant ignorance that surrounds. I really don't know anything about anything. So this seeking, with this seeking emerges a new kind of life, the intellectual life. And this life can start with a physical seeking, understanding the physical universe. But it can climb through layers and layers into an abstraction of thought. So read books, you know, at least for me, reading Immanuel Kant was like I am going into abstractions of thought. Very nice, but you see how the reason can climb. There are many, even in Advaitic systems, you read about what that reality is, it will take you through abstractions of thought. So intellectual life starts from this ground, but can go to, its flight can take us right to the doorsteps of the unknowable. But the last word of the mind is agnosticism. Because the mind cannot know. It can at the best say that perhaps there is a cosmic mind operating in this creation. This is possibly an energy. But I cannot know. I cannot say either way. I can neither affirm nor I can deny. Open-minded quest. And then agnosticism is the last word of this intellectual life if one has pursued this faithfully. I'm not talking of those who live in their own self-opinions. But when you really pursue it in a genuine way, you end up discovering that, well, I don't know. I don't know is the end of intellectual life. But the seeking doesn't end. So what do you do with the seeking? So you start exploring. Is there something more than the intellectual mind? You turn towards spiritual experiences, spiritual consciousness, spiritual people. You explore it in one way or the other. Different ways you want to go beyond the mind, but your mind, your thinking, rational mind cannot lead you beyond a point. Because reason will always give you reason for and against. At the end, it will be agnosticism. And then you catch another thread, which is the spiritual life. Now, this life, or the fourth layer of human life, is only being glimpsed from afar right now. Though we regard the yogi, the rishi as great beings, yes, but they are glimpses of what lies beyond mind. And these glimpses are very powerful. When you look at it, if you believe it, then it seems impossible. I mean, there have been beings, I'm sure Bindu himself is one of the classical examples, that how, when, and how it translates in practical things. He's in the prison and he says to his advocate that I'm not going to counsel you anymore, you go by your own inspiration. So he says, okay. But that's because Shobindu sees Vasudeva everywhere. And he tells him that everybody's mind and understanding is with me. And you don't have to worry. I have brought you here and I'll release you from here. Because I have brought you with a certain purpose and you have a greater work which is to be done. And Shobindu says, from that time my mind was completely calm. He didn't advise anything. And we know how he spoke. He spoke prophetic words. Chittaranjan Das was not a prophet, but he spoke prophetic words at that point of time, long after this controversy is hushed and the man who stands in the courtroom of history. His words will echo and re-echo over distant lands. What a prophetic statement. How did he know it? It turned out to be true. Random chance? We don't know. Surge of intuition? That's how we will say. And Shobindu's shifting onto another field, his release, everything, almost we can, of course, magically or divine intervention. So, and many things in Shobindu and the mother's life, in many people's lives. We know Sri Ramakrishna's life, which is, I'm talking of authentic mystics. And all these experiences, which is, which for human beings standing here, seem so stupendous. Now, human beings started following it, but very few can touch it. Very few can touch even the helm. Why is it so? Because These were glimpses, not the emergence of the spiritual man. So the new life is the fourth layer, emergence of the spiritual man out of the mental man. What does it mean? Right now the mental man has to make special efforts to have a glimpse of that spiritual consciousness. The fact is very few get authentic glimpses. They get glimpses, but I'm talking of that ultimate realization which a spiritual being had, of seeing the one self everywhere. For instance, Bulesha says, Bulla ke jana main kaun? I am seeing the one self in all beings. What does it mean? Because we think with the one self, my ego self. Obviously, it doesn't mean, make sense. But, or when Sanat Sujati says, knowing Brahman is that, knowing which all else can be known. These are very powerful, mind-changing experiences. Ekattvam anupashyata. So, others get some glimpses. Everybody who walks the spiritual path gets glimpses. But still these glimpses are few and far in between. So what does spiritual evolution mean? When these glimpses will become well firmly established as a natural way of life. That means the consciousness changes. Right now our consciousness is human and we are striving to have the spiritual experience. But as Teilhard de Chardin says, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Yes, but the story doesn't end here. Basically it means that this spiritual being, this spiritual consciousness which is involved within us is destined to evolve. And this is what is happening, especially since the last 50, 60 years, since the 60s, when man was in various ways revolted against the existing frameworks and started exploring other ways of perceiving this world. Aldous Huxley's famous book, people who have read it, Heaven and Hell, Doors of Perception. So, of course, they started with drugs because drugs were the easiest way to blow off the rational mind. So when the rational mind was quiet, rational mind is like a prison bar. It doesn't allow certain experiences to emerge. Reason will automatically, very subtly say, no, it cannot be. That's how it is. But then yoga is the better way, to right way to do it, because when you go into drugs, you will be projected, because these many dimensions are of all kinds. It's not like out of material means spiritual. Out of material means vital. And the vital world conjures many things. So we must understand the difference between spirituality and pseudo-spirituality. By pseudo-spirituality, I mean that people can have many experiences in the vital. They can even see gods and goddesses. That's not spirituality. That may or may not be. But the true spirituality is a change of consciousness. You may have experiences when you meditate, you may have certain. But what does change of consciousness mean? Change of consciousness means there is a shift of our or the station on which the self is stationed from the mind, let us say, to the intuitive mind. I'm just taking one step, one big step. It could be the illumined mind. It could be the revelatory mind. It's a new mind in which the consciousness has shifted. Or the shift can be deeper from the ego self into the psychic being. When that shift happens, there is a reversal. Very naturally, very organically, the entire view, perception, understanding, dealing with the world changes. You don't have to teach. For instance, you should have kind thoughts for everyone. Now, ordinarily we appreciate it, but how difficult it is, especially when things are not going your way. But to the spiritual being, these things will become the norm. In fact, even if he wants, he cannot have an unkind thought. Even if he wants, he cannot be bit by the jealousies and possessiveness, because they will become impossible. It's like for human beings, certain actions of the animals, true human beings, have become unnatural. They cannot be. And even certain animal actions have been modified and uplifted. For instance, love in animal world is, in the lower animal world, is basically mating to have progeny. And with that mating, certain amount of pleasure is associated. Human beings, true human being worth humanity, cannot mate for the physical pleasure. There must be love involved in it. Some feeling of love, some feeling of togetherness. He will understand that this meeting physically is a meeting of personalities. What it would be to a spiritual being? Will it get discarded or will it get modified and transmuted and sublimated into something high? I'm just taking some experiences. Another is anger. Now, animals don't experience anger. But you step on a snake and he bites. He doesn't care. In human beings also, this tendency is there very much as an atavism of the past. But many human beings have begun to modify it. So instead of beating each other, we beat by words or sometimes by the lack of it. One of the ways that anger is expressed is by not speaking, root jana. But anger is there, very much there, and it's eating you and it's affecting somebody else. So it's very, even a powerful means of disturbing someone is by not speaking, not communicating. So these are ways that anger has taken. But what about spiritual consciousness? Will there be anger? Again, there will not be anger, obviously, which is based on the ego and division, but it will be replaced by something called as the wrath divine. Kali destroys. Shri Krishna standing on the battlefield is destroying an entire civilization. Is he doing with anger? No. He's doing because, well, based on truth, the time has come for a new law to be established, new dharma to be established, a new yug dharma, and therefore he is destroying the old world in which many of the things which were valid and important have to pass away. And those people who are the bastions of these old values, and the classic moment from the Indian mythology is in Draupadi's Chiraharan. All the men with the old values system, very high, even some of them. Duryodhan and Dushasan are gone cases. But even they were justifying it, saying that she is married to five people, therefore she is anybody can have a woman like that. And so this was the old world value, it had to collapse. It collapsed, and Shri Krishna brings a new value system. He places love, which is more important than marriage and other things. Actually, he had done that in a way. Then we see again today something very similar is happening. So each evolutionary leap, we see the old power of the previous species collapses and the new emerges. So take for example, the fish loses its ability to breathe in water and it becomes a salamander and a tadpole. The tadpole loses its ability, the amphibious, to breathe in land and water and becomes a land rover, land animal, Varaha. The animals, or rather we also see reptiles who are crawling on the ground. The reptilian world loses its speed and swiftness because of so many legs. It flies in the air. It develops wings because there is a new possibility. And the bird loses the wings and becomes the forceful animal of the land, the mammalian world. And the mammalian world, pre-human mammalian world, begins to lose its vitality. Tremendous vitality in the animal world. If you look at it, you will see what a play of vitality. Whether it's a leap of a lion or the swiftness of a deer, and everywhere you will see. Till the monkey, you will see that vitality. The higher apes, you will see vitality is coming down. Orangutan, the closest to human beings, very strong. But you will see that there is something else which is beginning to develop. Ever look into orangutan's face, like he's a curious fellow trying to understand this world. So the rational human develops. And now, if man has to go further, what is it he is going to lose? His faculty of reason. And this is coming from various quarters. I'm not saying anybody should lose reason prematurely. It is by a natural ascension. So that's why the rational person cannot understand the way of the spiritual man. Because he's not operating, his operating system is different. It doesn't operate according to your norms, standards. The mother says, how will the superman's moral values and ethical values come? So she says something very interesting. Man becomes man when using his morality, he tends to suppress his animality or modify his animality. Animal is there, but he has sort of trained, tamed and kind of disciplined. That see, there is a place for everything, but you can't just do anything anywhere. So by doing it, the moral man develops, and that is how the human mind discovers its social law. What about Superman? Superman will transcend the mind, and thereby he will tame even the human mind with its values, opinions, ways of looking, and bring into it a new light. And there this higher being will develop its own ethical standards. Intuitively, it will not be based on any of the mind's moral principles. So you can imagine how it is going to upset the, first of all, the moral people all around. Spiritual man, moral and ethical man is very good. But there is something much greater. Or I would say good, but many, very often they stop within the limits. And not that one has to do something unnatural to become immoral or amoral, no. As you grow, your perspective changes. As you evolve, you understand that for a Draupadi, it's perfectly fine to have the five husbands. Moral man cannot understand it. According to conventional standards of morality, it's wrong. So there will be new standards of ethics with which human beings will begin to deal with this world. Now already we see it's emerging. People are dealing with trees, with other things as if they are living. Where do they get this idea of living and conscious? Not just living. Living is okay. But where do they feel the pain of the trees? They don't use the word. Say, oh, they are cutting a tree. Why? Because somewhere you feel it's not just living, it's sensing things. Why do we have images like choking the earth, planet earth? Because somewhere deep within, this spiritual evolution has now begun. And it's beginning to generalize in mankind. So as it goes further and further, the new children are going to be very different. They are not going to operate based on, they will use reason, but not operate only on the basis of analysis and reason. They will seek more space because the need of subjective. They will not discard subjectivity as something which has no meaning at all. And they will discover their own standards with which they will deal with society and others. And this is what is going underway. So this is a change of consciousness. It's not about having experiences. Obviously they will have their own experiences. Everybody has experiences are like milestones sometimes or like things which are on the way. But the real thing is reaching where you are reaching, and from there when you look back, it's like a hill. You may see beautiful scenery, you may see a dangerous animal, you may see a beautiful bird. But what is important is you reach the hill peak and then you look down. Then you have a different perspective. But don't stop. You climb further. And at the peak, look down. Each of these peaks will bring different experiences. Beauty is one peak to another, you have to even come down. That's how the Vedic Rishis describe. You have to almost lose it because you can't go further. So to get stuck with experiences, can thought our spiritual seeking. There are people who have got an experience, they stop. But this is the beauty of Mother and Shivindo, they kept going beyond and beyond and beyond. What we have to seek in spiritual life is not experiences, but the divine. Experiences are on the way, by the way. And the sign that we are reaching at least something of the divine is that there is a reversal of consciousness, a complete change. The way you look at life, the way you perceive, the way you understand, the way you feel, the way you react, all goals, everything changes. And this is what is happening today on a much larger scale than people can understand. That's why people are leaving religions, people are leaving traditions, customs, and everywhere. You see, just to give a passing thing, recently there was this issue about the Ram temple. Sorry, Ram temple is still going on. So you saw that there was a group of spiritual people who, they are authentic spiritual, but they have stopped at a level. And they said, no, there are certain people cannot go into a temple, sanctum sanctorum. Why? Because they belong to a lower caste. Now humanity has rejected it. And that is what Rama's coming symbolizes. Ram took everybody along with him. So now in this new age, this is a sign that we reject from the national consciousness of Bharat all the differences based on caste, whatever their relative utility in the past. It was a symbol and significant symbol because the prime minister of the country who is present in the sanctum sanctorum by whatever destiny is doing, you may say, is not a Brahmin. He is not even a Kshatriya, he is not even a Vaishya. He comes from the backward community. Beautiful symbol. So now the spiritual seeking is getting generalized. It had its meaning, purpose. It's over now. It's dated now. Those things will not be accepted. And eventually we will see, that's what Shivananda says, passing through this phase and successive changes, one day we will touch what Shivananda and the mother has called as the supramental life, the new creation, a life where it's not just a reversal or a change, a life which means a divine, the way divine looks at life, the way the divine creates life, the way the divine deals with life in all our dealings, in all our feelings, in all our knowings, in all our willings. It will be all impelled directly with the divine, and we'll experience that divine consciousness everywhere and in everything. So that's still away right now. The spiritual evolution is emerging. The fourth layer, which will have many sub-layers like humanity. Many sub-layers. Even Shivananda speaks about homo intellectualis and homo psychicus. One that will take the root through the mind, the other which will take a root through the deeper heart. So this happening at a very fast pace, very good, maybe couple of hundred years, few hundred years, let's put it like that. We'll actually see then the supramental being also beginning to show up. And what that would be, let's experience it as and when it comes. Right now is the time for the Superman. A changed consciousness in a human body. That's what the new life is. Though the body is the same, but the consciousness is radically different from anything that is human. Namaste.